Today's reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, beginning at verse 68 through to 79. This is Zechariah's song, Zechariah being the father of St. John the Baptist. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in the darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. This is the word of the Lord.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, as we know, second week of Advent this week. Who's got all their Christmas deckies up? Yeah, one or two? One or two of you. We see Christmas lights going up too around the places. Are you into those Christmas lights, everyone? Yeah, one or two nods around the place. I often find that come Christmas time, my time and energy levels are just about zero, and struggle to get the time and energy to do it, but. Also, it's kind of impossible to compete. Have you seen some of the Christmas lights around the place? Let's just want to show you a brief video here now. Check it out. Yeah, look, some people take it very seriously, but I'm with Ditto Man. That's what I'm doing. But in our Bible reading today, it spoke about light coming to those in darkness. And that's our theme we're just going to explore briefly this morning. And very much connected with Christmas, light coming to those who are in darkness. Very simple, just going to look this morning at, firstly, well, what is the darkness? And then secondly, what's the light? And thirdly, well, how do we get it, that light? But we ask the question, what is the darkness? Well, we know, don't we? We've got plenty. We're still in the grip of the COVID pandemic. And we're sick of it, aren't we? You know, we kind of don't want to hear about it. But it's there. It's there and it's confronting us, and you know, we could go through all the stats of the negative effects, the darkness that's come from that. But we also hear a lot now about dangerous climate change. More and more are speaking about it. And, you know, we're sick of hearing about that too, aren't we? It's on all our news reports, in all our newspapers. But again, it's there. And it's confronting us, and we will hear lots more about it yet. But all of these things make it an anxious age in many ways. Now, I'm sure it's kind of always been that way in a sense, but we've got plenty that we find we have to deal with now. And, you know, we think of Jace and all of our other kids coming into the world and we wonder what the future's going to be like. We can be anxious about that. But not only that big picture stuff, we've got all the life stuff that affects us individually too, that brings pain and difficulty. Shattered dreams, and can go through a difficult time in our work, or even lose our job. We can go through difficult and sadly at times broken relationships. Illness can come, grief when we lose someone we love. And all these can be dark times that come to us. And the Bible speaks about these too, the passage that Trevor read for us from Luke 1. It spoke there about our enemies. Now, all sorts of enemies we can have in life can be individuals, or, you know, might be the bank, who knows, or those things that are against us. The Bible reading spoke about the darkness of the times too, like the darkness of our times. But at the time that that was written, which was the time of Jesus' birth, just before it, they were dark times in that part of the world. There was a Roman occupation of Palestine, and armed soldiers with swords walked the streets and made life incredibly difficult. And the Bible reading spoke too, connected with that, of the shadow of death, you know, the fear that creates, and the danger that was all around people. That's what we might call the existential darkness. It's the kind of darkness that's in our faces that we wrestle with and are confronted with every day. But there's also behind that a deeper darkness. And we could call this, I guess, a spiritual darkness. And it's connected with the fact that we have a relationship with God. And if God exists, and if He made us, then our lives are essentially connected to His. And the wholeness and fulfillment of our lives will be connected with God and our relationship with Him. And so if God is missing from our world and our lives, then that means things are going to be out of sync. You know, if there's a maker, well, we would need to follow the maker's instructions. And so our Bible reading today also spoke about the need for that relationship to be healed, to be put right. It spoke there of our, what we call our sins, and our need to be forgiven. Again, sin is can be a bit of a funny religious word to some, and we can think of many things that we would call sins, but really behind every sin in the world is one thing, and it has one source, and that is when human beings simply decide to go their own way in life rather than God's way. Simply going our own way in life rather than God's way. That is the heart of what sin is, of every sin. And what the Bible also tells us is that every human being is in that situation. I am, you are, we all are. Even the best, it says, doesn't matter how good a human being you are, there in the heart of our will is this resistance and this will to go our own way rather than God's. And so losing that relationship with God, if that's what we're created and redeemed for, to lose that would be the greatest loss, the greatest darkness. And we could go through the Bible and look at how that loss of a relationship with God contributes to every other darkness that we can experience in life. You know, in our Western world today, there's a kind of bit of a casual atheism. Oh, yeah, you know, we're atheists. No, I don't believe in God. And kind of think, yeah, I'll get on with life. and we can get busy with life and hide from ourselves the fact that we're actually saying by that we're going to lose everything that is most valuable to us if God is the one who gives us fulfillment and wholeness and completeness and joy. To just casually ignore him is something terribly deluding to ourselves. So the Bible speaks then of our second point, of the light coming into the darkness. And the light that it speaks of, it deals with both this deeper spiritual darkness we've just spoken about, but also that existential darkness, the in-our-face darkness that, you know, we struggle with every day. And so how does the light help and deal with that darkness? Well, as Trevor mentioned, the reading from Luke chapter 1 today, verses 68 to 79, was the prophecy or song of Zechariah. Zechariah was the husband of a lady called Elizabeth, and they were the mum and dad of John the Baptist. And in the Bible story, this guy, John the Baptist, is one who comes along. He's born at about the same time as Jesus, but he has come to be the one to announce Jesus' birth, the birth of the Son of God at Christmas. And he's going to be the messenger. And the message that through Jesus is one of God's love and mercy to all who are in darkness. It speaks there in Zechariah's song about him redeeming us from having lost a relationship with God to bring us back, to bring us home to God as our Father. And it says that in doing that, he's going to deal with all the powers that can separate us from God. And so it says that he is to be a saviour, one who saves. And that points to the greatest mystery of God's love in the Bible, that baby Jesus who comes at Christmas, there's a plan for him, and in one sense it can seem terrible to us, it's a plan that he will eventually die on a cross, but the great mystery of that is that he does that for us. He does that to pay for and cancel and forgive all failure and wrongdoing, all sin, to take that away. And so the Bible calls Jesus the light. You know, that greatest darkness, that greatest spiritual darkness, Jesus comes as the light to shatter it, to shatter the darkness, to overcome it. And so Jesus says at one, in another place, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And this is the love of God, you know. Why is this terrible thing happening to Jesus who came into the world, but this incredibly thing that's incredibly great at the same time, it's God's love. Jesus said God loved the world so much that he sent his son to come. And it's a love that loves us so strongly it's even willing to die on a cross for us. And you see what happened there is Jesus, the baby born at Christmas, on his cross, he had the darkness fall upon him so that he can lift us into his light. He can lift us into the light. Let me just read something for you. These are some words from the brilliant Christian writer, C.S. Lewis. And it's an illustration of what this is like, Jesus bringing light into our darkness. We can think of him as a diver, firstly reducing himself to nakedness, then glancing in mid-air, then gone with a splash, vanished, rushing down through green and warm water into black and cold water, down through the increasing pressure into the death-like region of ooze and slime and old decay. Then up again, back to colour and light, his lungs almost bursting till he suddenly breaks the surface again, holding in his hand the dripping precious thing that he went down to recover, and he and it are both coloured now that they have come back into the light. See, Jesus went down into that darkness to bring up the precious thing into the light, and the precious thing is you. It's us. It's Jace. It's all of us. Light makes things live and grow, returns them to health and flourishing, brings truth, the truth of God's forgiveness. It lights up beauty, shows the true beauty of things. Now, if that light of Jesus overcomes the greatest, deepest darkness, it must help us with our everyday dark situations that we come up against. Do you know what's it feel like when stuff goes wrong, you know? You're at the checkout, the credit card bounces. What's it feel like? Or what does it feel like when the boss turns the blowtorch on you? Or what does it feel like when a close friend turns on you? What's it feel like when the dreaded test results come in? Do you know, those things happen, and it's kind of like a bit of a black hole opens up inside us and we fall through it. Do you know, our world falls apart. We crumple inside. And you see, it's at those moments, it's like we tap into an ultimate fear when those little dark moments happen in our lives. We tap into an ultimate fear that in the end something's going to absolutely wreck us. And, you know, we feel rubbish. And those dark experiences come. But you see, if the greatest darkness has been dealt with, if the great light has come, then those things lose their power to crush and control and destroy us. And a light bigger than all of them has come, and it overwhelms them. And Jesus lifts us up in and over any darkness that comes. Now, that doesn't remove the dark times or make it automatically easy to deal with, but what it does mean is it's absolutely possible for us to get through them and to overcome them. And what this means is that for us and for our kids, for Jace, there is an indestructible hope for our kids, our future, our world. God has a great plan for us. Many of you have heard lots in recent times about our first grandson, Judah, who was born about a year ago. And many of you have heard different aspects of Judah's story. I just wanted to touch on a part of that this morning. 20 weeks pregnancy, a scan happened, and it indicated that there was a possible severe condition with Judah called septo-optic dysplasia. I won't bore you with all the details of that. But Judah was eventually born just before Christmas last year. And at the end of the first week, he was to have an MRI to confirm whether or not he had this condition. And Grandma Catherine was that day, while Hannah was having the scan, was just sitting and praying. And she spoke about a terrible fear that she felt. And what she did while she was waiting, while Hannah was having the scan, was she happened to read through the first three chapters of Ephesians, a little book in the New Testament. And it basically just summarizes the Christian story that we've been hearing about this morning, about light coming into darkness. And she says how in that prayer time, as she read that, she had an overwhelming sense that even if it's a bad diagnosis, all that she just read about is true, is still true. And she had a strong sense of the presence of Jesus with her and of his peace. and lots of tears as well, but a sense of peace. The diagnosis was actually confirmed at that stage that he had this condition, which was devastating. But Catherine says how she was not crushed, and instead of that was actually hopeful and peaceful, even in the midst of that. Now, as many of you know, Judah and his family were surrounded in prayer, and since Judah's birth, it was confirmed at the 6-month mark that he doesn't have this condition, septo-optic dysplasia, and he's perfectly normal. So whatever that means, whether the medical profession got it completely wrong or God healed him, we'll take it anyway. But it wouldn't have altered the fact, even if this wonderful gift hadn't happened, it wouldn't have altered the real hope and peace that Catherine knew at that time. Now, I just want to finish, and just very briefly, you know, how do we get our hands on this light? Well, in verses 78 and 79 that Trevor read for us before, it speaks there of God in the tender mercy of God. The dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Just very briefly, as we heard, John the Baptist came to announce that Jesus was coming. Jesus, the Son of God, was coming. And this is the most important thing about how we get this light, how we get hold of it. God brings it to us. It comes to us into our world, you see. Jesus was born in a dark place, in a animal's trough, in a manger. And God brought his light into our dark place. And you know, this is different from every other religion. Every religion in the world is about us having to make our way to God, us having to find God, us having to claw our way up to heaven. Christianity is exactly the opposite. It's about God coming to us where we are, in great grace. And the most important word that we will ever hear about Christian faith is the word grace. It's God doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. We can't claw our way up to heaven. Heaven comes to us. God comes to us. And all we need to do is to see our need of it, to ask for it, to believe it is yours, and to live in it as though it is the truth, and you'll find that it is. The light is yours. Embrace it. Amen.